Good afternoon, and thank you all for holding. Your lines have been placed on a listen-only mode until the question and answer portion of today's conference. I would like to remind all parties the call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to Keisha Downs. Thank you. You may begin.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Keisha Downs, and I am the Chief of the Trade Regulations Branch in the U.S. Census Bureau's International Trade Management Division. We appreciate you attending today's Q&A teleconference and hope that this forum will allow you to express your opinions, questions, and concerns regarding the proposed revisions to the foreign trade regulations that were published in a Notice of Proposed Rulemaking on March 9, 2016. For those of you who have not had a chance to review the proposed rule, you can review it in its entirety at federalregister.gov, or you can go to our website, census.gov/trade, and view the proposal on by clicking the Regulations tab. Since many of our questions that we've received so far pertain to the new/used electronics indicator, I first would like to introduce Stephanie Adrian from the Environmental Protection Agency, who will briefly discuss the definition and purpose of this new element before we open the session up for your questions. Stephanie?
Thanks, Keisha. And good afternoon, everyone. Again, my name is Stephanie Adrian. I'm with the U.S. EPA. In International and Tribal Affairs Office. I thought I would start by giving you a little bit of context for the used electronics indicator and why it is being introduced in this proposed rule. So first of all, there, in case you're not familiar with it, the National Strategy for Electronic Stewardship was released in 2011. It was it contained four goals that the U.S. government described that would help us be better stewardships of used electronics. And the fourth goal of that was what we call our international goal, and one of the objectives within it was to improve information on trade flows and to share data with federal agencies and across federal agencies so that we would have a better indication of what volumes of used electronics we have and where they were going. And so that is how we ended up here with a proposed rule with the used electronics indicator so that we can get a better information on the volumes of used electronics that are being exported and where they're being exported to. So let me read the used electronics definition as it stands currently in the proposed rule. Right now, it states that used electronics are various electronic equipment, products, and associated accessories, including consumer electronics and information technology equipment that are no longer in new packaging and have been given away or sold to be recycled, resold, reused, refurbished, repaired, or disposed. Now, based on some of the initial comments we've received, we anticipate amending this definition slightly, and one of the suggestions was to have it to not state all the different end uses, because this indicator is really meant to look at volumes of electronics, used electronics that are leaving the U.S. Regardless of its end use. And so the language on being recycled, resold, reused, refurbished, et cetera, was added in the definition simply to indicate that the used realm could be for any of those end uses, but we would not be looking at what those end uses were. And so we plan on revising that. And also we had a suggestion to revise the language on packaging because, as it states here, we're looking at used electronics that are no longer in new packaging, and we may revise to say something to the effect of equipment that is no longer various electronic equipment, products, and associated accessories, including consumer electronics and information technology equipment, irrespective of packaging and regardless of end use. But we would love to hear if you have any other suggestions for how to make this clearer. We would be very happy to hear those suggestions. So with that, I will turn things back to Keisha and may open it up for questions.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please, for the first question.
Okay, while we wait for a question to get queued up, just I want to keep in mind that this is questions that are related to the webinar that series that we did with regards to the changes to the foreign trade regulations that we did March 15th. For those of you who did not have an opportunity to review that or view, you can go to our webpage, census.gov/trade, and there is an outreach link, as well as to also keep in mind that when you're reviewing the Federal Register notice, comments, we're accepting comments up until May 9th. And so you can submit your comments in two different ways, either through regulations.gov, where you will reference the REN number, which is 0607-AA55, or you can submit something in writing to our division chief, who is Ms. Dale Kelly, and you would submit it to the address of 4600 Silver Hill Road. If you're sending it by courier, you would do Suitland, Maryland, 20746, and if you're doing it through the Postal Service, you would use our Washington, D.C. address, which or Washington, D.C. with 02-20233-6700. So, again, these are any specific questions that you have related to the rule, any of the proposed changes that we have put out, and we would love to hear any comments or feedback and questions you have.
And as a reminder to ask a question, please press star 1. Our first question today is from John Burns.
Yes, hello. My question is, we export shredded printed circuit boards and also use scrap cell phones, and we send them overseas to refineries to recover the precious metals. Now, would this be considered used electronics, or are the used electronics more considered like monitors, the actual hard equipment, where these are just components? Specifically with the shredded printed circuit boards, I mean, it is not really equipment anymore, but just a component, and that matter, a very shredded component. And then also the cell phones are batteries removed, any toxic components, if there's anything in there, is removed. And would that be considered or need a specific indicator?
Well, thank you for that question. In terms of the shredded circuit boards, I don't believe that they are on the list of commodities that would need to be that you would get the indicator for used. The cell phones, if you are, I guess it depends on which commodity code you're using. And as Keisha maybe can help clarify this, but I believe there's an annex that has a list of all the commodity codes that would then require the used the data indicator, and those are listed. I assume that they are on the website, but Keisha, can you maybe give?
Yes. So for those who are interested in what commodity classification codes would require you to report that new used electronics indicator, that would be on our website at census.gov/trade, the same site that I've been referring to, where you would click next is the regulations tab, and once you select the regulations tab, then you will scroll down, and in the third box it'll say resources, and the first hyperlink is titled Schedule B list requiring used electronics indicator. And so how it's going to work in AES is when you do your reporting, if you ship or you're exporting any commodity that is on that list, then you would be required to indicate whether that component is used based off the definition that Stephanie read to you earlier. And again, that was the proposed definition. So when we move forward into the final rule, we will have a final definition of used electronics that we will take into consideration all the comments and the concerns that we've gotten from the trade. And then based off of that definition, you would have to indicate whether that commodity is used or not.
Okay, that's perfect. That's exactly what I'll check. Thank you much.
Okay, perfect. No problem.
Thank you. And as a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. And our next question is from Tony.
Hi, my question had to do with the last meeting we had. We talked about the commodity flagging the whether or not the used indicator would be on AES. There was a concern where new and used items under that commodity would be to essentially skew the data. So if we were exporting used and new and the same commodity in the same shipment, the AES data would have both new and used in the filing data.
Okay. So we did take your comment, and we have been discussing that between the two agencies because the objective is not to skew the data. If we currently are capturing $4,000 of cameras, if cameras is one of those Schedule B numbers, we still want to capture $4,000 worth of those cameras, whether or not they're used or new. And so what we have to do as an agency is work together to modify the data element section, which is 30.6, I believe it's A18, B18, where we talk about the used electronics. And so we will have some language that we will add to make sure that we address how you report them if you have the same Schedule B number and part is new and part is used. So that is a discussion that we are having with EPA as well as ourselves to make sure that when this goes final that our data is not skewed.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question is from El Vecito. Okay. Ma'am, go ahead. Your line is open.
All right. Yeah, I was wondering if the presentation back in on March 15th is available.
Yes. So if you go to the same website I was talking about, census.gov/trade, actually all of our webinars are archived. But the first series, like on that actual page, if you scroll down, you will see Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, Foreign Trade Regulations, and it has the date March 15th. And then you
Under chronological
click
order.
I'm sorry?
Under chronological order.
Once you go to that site and you select the outreach tab, if you scroll down, it's like the second one that's listed. So you'll see it on that actual page.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. And as a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please, for the next question. Our next question is from Curtis.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're an AES software developing company, and I'm looking at the changes to the AES TIR, which go in conjunction with some of these changes for the inclusion of the ITN number as well as the used electronics. But I also see that there's changes to the PGA data set. I'm wondering if these are all going to be encompassed into one release as far as when all these changes have to be put in place for the AES program, and is there a time frame set on when those changes need to be developed and in place?
So the PGA data set changes that you're seeing, a lot of that is tied to the timeline of transitioning AES to ACE. So I'm not aware of a specific rule that will be put out for it, but as those changes are made and things that we need to make the trade aware of, there would be broadcast messages that would come out. But a lot of that is tied to that transition from us moving from AES Direct over to the ACE platform for the single window. That where you'll be able to report all your imports and your exports in the same location. With regards to this rule, the original ITN and the used electronics indicator is dependent on how we move forward with the final rule. So as long as there is no major objections and, you know, we may have some tweaking to do with the definition of the used electronics, that's then when we have to put it in the final rule to make it known to the trade, and we would give an implementation period to allow programmers such as yourself to be able to incorporate these changes into the system. But our final rule is only going to address the two new data elements moving forward when you're referring to the ASTIR.
And then once those are final, do you have any idea of how long that time frame is to do the implementation?
It depends. I believe in the past we've done 60 days to 180 days. It just depends on feedback that we get from the trade and how difficult the programming is. We have given a lot of time right now. So if we get comments from the trade that they anticipate the programming is going to take X amount of time, we do take that into consideration. For on the government side, that has already been built in with into ACE. So if this is approved, we will be able to make it available to the trade immediately because I believe they're already programmed. But for self-programmers, we will give a implementation period. It just depends on the type of feedback that we get.
Okay. And then on the PGA data set changes then, who do we get in touch with to know? Because on our self-filing for PGA, writing our own software, we need to be able to implement those changes as well, and I'm not seeing anything that says any kind of time frame on when those PGA changes have to be
made. A good contact for that would be Paul Newman. He's the branch chief in the data collection coordination branch, which was previously called our automated export system branch. So if that is something in-house that Census will be able to address, he would be able to do that. If it's a CBP related question, because we are coordinating with them, he would definitely have the contacts to get you in touch with the right people.
And how do I get in touch with him?
Paul, you can, I believe he's on, I don't have his number offhand. If you call there's a 1-800 number that's tied to all of our lines, 1-800-549-0595, and I believe data collection is option one. So that branch should be able to assist.
All right. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Our next question is from Lori Whipple.
Hi. Thank you. I was wondering, for our purposes, we seem to be getting a little bit of heartburn over the difference between reused and repurposed. Will there be any sort of additional verbiage in the newer definition or the revised definition that might speak separately to each of those terms?
So I think, as I mentioned before, that we have taken some other comments about the language in the used electronics definition currently that talks about, you know, being recycled, resold, reused, et cetera. And so our current thinking is to take that out because the end use is not relevant for this data element. It was simply put in there just to indicate that, you know, whatever purpose the used electronics had, it would be considered, but the actual purpose is not important. So since that's not an important part of the data element, this data element will collect information on aggregate volumes and destinations. So it won't be shipment level or, you know, end use. So no one will have to indicate whether, you know, what they're shipping is for, you know, is repurposed or is for reuse. Because that information is not going to come to us.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And as a reminder to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question is from Harvey.
Hello. Thank you for the presentation today. I have a question if you can give the trade any indication. Is this proposed declaration requirement a first step to the U.S. controlling or limiting or restricting in any way exports of used electronics? And I ask because, as we know, some other countries, such as in Europe, with Wii or ROHS requirements, do have such restrictions.
Yeah, thank you for that question. Actually, the purpose of this is simply to just get data. We would like to have a universe of, you know, what the used electronics exports are, and be able to just look at that over time. Even it helps us identify whether we need to, you know, address any issues here in the U.S. or it allows us to see if exports are slowing and then why, and or if they're increasing and why, and you know, it helps us identify where to target resources if needed. For example, if you know exports are slowing, you know, we can do outreach to industry, we can ask if you know there are any issues related to that, any problems, anything that you know we can help with. And the same goes for work we may be doing with other countries. If there's an issue of, you know, a lot of exports going to a certain country and, you know, they may need help in building their capacity to better manage what they have there, and that helps us sort of identify areas where we can provide assistance. So the intention of this is simply to get more information on just the volumes and the countries where things are going to. It's interesting that across the globe, having this kind of information is really, it's almost non-existent. There's a lot of anecdotal information, but there isn't any real data. And even within our trade code system currently, you know, as most of you probably know, that right now we cannot distinguish between new and used. So it makes it difficult to, you know, to make any kind of statements, look at where research needs to go, look at where assistance can go, and just to have that understanding of what the volumes are leaving here. So there isn't any grand plan behind that, except just to get better information.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. And our next question is from Maria.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My question has to be with how to use the AC portal. I call and I got already my username, my password, everything, but they gave me a 1-800 number to call for the walkthrough, but I was on hold for like a 32 minutes, nobody answered, and I need to start filing. That's
okay.
The problem.
That was probably the help desk for CVP because they have been getting flooded with calls. I would suggest reaching out to that 1-800 number that I had given earlier, 1-800-549-0595, and select option 1. That's our data collection branch. They have access to the system. They should be able to assist you in that fashion. We definitely want you to be able to file. You should be able to file. I believe the accounts were set up in the fashion that once you register, you're able to file immediately. So if you're having difficulties, reach out to that 1-800 number and select option 1.
Can you repeat the 800 number? 549?
549-0595.
Option 1.
Option 1.
Okay, another question that I have. In case that I can't file because I need help going through, how should I send my shipments? Without filing, or I mean,
you cannot. I would not suggest sending it without filing, because you could get a penalty. I would reach out. honestly, you will get a hold of someone on that 1-800 number, and they definitely will be able to assist you. Our call volume has definitely increased as we're making this transition, but if you do go to voicemail, you will get a call within 24 hours or 48 hours. So we definitely will call you back. You will get an individual here at Census, and we should be able to assist you.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Not a problem.
Thank you. And as a reminder to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please, for the next question. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. I'm showing no further questions at this time. Oh, I apologize. We have one. One moment, please. Our next question is from Michelle Forte.
Hi, Keisha. It's Michelle Forte. Good afternoon. Just a quick question. With reference to the proposed addition for 30.6 C3, which is to add a reference for the original ITN. I have two questions. One, do you know or was it anticipated that there'll be an additional programming required in any software to allow for that data field? And the second was, do you know whether there's been consultation with CBP regarding that, the addition of that data field in order that they can be educated about the existence of a previous ITN so that penalties can be avoided?
Yes. Okay. So with regards to the program, the field will be optional. So the field does not have to be reported. However, the field came about as a result of us consulting with CBP. We were running into situations where you have shipments that were sold in transit, where you have a shipment that was going out, they left on vessel, it was going to the foreign party, and while it was on the water, the customer says, you know, we only want half of what we purchased, but however, they found another buyer. So as a result, there's two shipments now. So when the USPPI goes in to modify the original transaction, there was no issue. When they went in to create the second transaction, because it's now filed after the shipment has left the country, so the date of export has already passed, they would get a late filing in AES. So to deal with that, we came up with this optional field so that when a person reports an AES and the shipment is filed after it has left the country, they're able to put in to that field what the original ITN was, because technically that shipment was filed, they were in compliance, but because they had the order changed and the customer no longer wanted it, it shows I have a late filing, and on surface it just looked like I didn't file it and I'm filing it late. But really now CBP will be able to drill into the transaction and see, okay, this shipment was filed previously, they did comply with the regulations, and now so that they're in compliance, they're creating a new transaction like the regs require them to, and then you have that reference point. So we did consult with CBP, and we are hoping that, you know, once this goes final, that their headquarters will instruct, you know, the different field officers to utilize that field so that they're not automatically issuing penalties because the filing is late.
That's perfect. That's exactly the outcome that was requested. We'll certainly be addressing it in comments in response to the FRN, but is there already a practice in place where Census is going to see the proposed instructions to the field or have sign-off just so that the issue is sewn up?
Are you a reference prior to the rule going final, or are you talking about?
No, in connection with the rule going final, just so that there's no question at the port level.
I mean, we communicate with CBP on a regular, and typically when we publish our final rules, we have to get concurrence from the Department of Homeland Security and from the State Department. So they will already be aware of these changes as they were consulted. They have to sign off on them so they know that they are now becoming effective, and then they usually will conduct their outreach to their officers in the field to ensure that they are following the new changes to the regulations. So there is a practice of once things go final, headquarters typically reaches out, but everyone has started those conversations to ensure that they will utilize these new fields.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
And just in terms of, is there a programming change that's required for this new field, or I know you said it's optional, but
it's optional.
Does that mean
the only programming that I can think of, the field is going to have to be added to allow, but it's not a field that has to be completed. So I guess if you have a self-programmer, they're going to have to add the field. If you're using AES, the government system, we will already have that built in.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Our next question is from Harvey.
Hi, thank you. A separate question. This discussion is about exports. There is, just a sanity check, if you will, there is no, for U.S. imports, requirement for declaring used electronics imports. Is there anything being considered on that front as well, or this is just a outflow from the U.S. Issue? Thank you.
From a census perspective, we would only be proposing regulations that impact exports. Because that's what we regulate. I'm not sure if Stephanie and EPA has any knowledge of whether there is an import requirement, but I don't have an understanding, or I don't know.
Yeah, and I'll just chime in that no, we don't right now have an intention of looking at imports, only exports.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. And our next question is from Curtis.
You guys are talking about the new used equipment indicator and also including the ITN number. I see out on the AES site that there is the technical specifications that we use to program against, and there is the proposed PGA changes that are out there, but I don't see one that is specific to the ITN number and the used equipment indicator. Are there technical specifications for that, or is that not yet available because this is still in the Q&A period?
Yeah, right now it's not going to be in the ASTEER just because it's not an approved data element.
Okay.
We have reached out to OMB, so we've gotten approval from OMB to collect it, but we still have to go through this process of notifying the trade of what we would like to do and get comments. Based on the comments, then we'll be able to decide if we can move forward with it. Once we move forward, then the ASTEER would be updated and those requirements would be made available.
Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. And one moment, please. Our next question is from McLean.
Hi.
Ma'am, go ahead. Your line is open.
I have a very quick question. Somebody mentioned that under resource, we can find a list of all the HTS and Schedule B that require the use electronic. I kept looking at the website. I couldn't find anything.
Are you familiar with the census website, census.gov /trade?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes.
If you hit the sixth tab over from the top, it says regulations. So there are three boxes that you'll see. The top box says regulations. The next box underneath of that says FTR letters and notices. And then the third box underneath of that says resources. And inside of the resources box, it's the first link. And that's where you'll find the Schedule B list requiring use electronics indicator.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
I get it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Kathy Ryder.
Yes, I was actually going to ask the exact same question that was asked previously, but now that I'm looking also at the actual annex, I do have a question regarding electronic components. I see that you have some classifications there of the 85, 42, 31, for example. So my question is, if you're returning parts for failure analysis, and it's that HTS or Schedule B, is that then considered used equipment because you originally received them, but now you're returning them back to the original manufacturer for failure analysis?
So yes. I mean, the short answer is yes. And again, it's sort of we're trying to get basic information on used electronics that are going out, and regardless of end use or regardless of purpose. So it will just give us a sense of the flows of materials. It's not meant to, you know, then make a judgment call. And besides that, this will not be, you know, individual shipments will not be looked at. It's aggregate and. So we are just looking for that level of information.
So I'm following up on that. Basically, it's if you receive any products from overseas and you're returning them back for any reason, then that would be considered, you would have to mark the used electronics indicator.
Yeah, if you're returning them, if they've been essentially taken out and used for any reason, if they're taken out and used and they fail and they have to be returned, then yes, it would capture that. If, you know, there's a new shipment that comes in and the importer decides they don't want it and returns it, then no, those wouldn't be considered used because they haven't been taken out and used.
Okay, thank you very much.
Is that helpful?
Very helpful, thank you.
Great, you're welcome.
Thank you. And once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. And one moment, please, for the next question. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question is from Natalie.
Hi, my question is on when we get ready to send out the products after we've either repaired them, they came back in for an RMA and they've been repaired, or we have refurbished products that we send out sometimes on an RMA replacement. Is that required to be reported here?
Yes, those would qualify for the used designation.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. And one moment, please. Our next question is from Erin Lowy.
Yes. So for the used electronics, if the Schedule B is one of the ones indicated, is it a mandatory where you have to click yes or no, or it's just if it's a used electronics, you're going to click it if it's for that HTS or Schedule B number?
The Schedule B number drives whether or not you have to select if it's used or not. So once every shipment requires the Schedule B or HTS number, unless it's a household goods shipment. But when you key in your HTS code, if it is one of the codes that's listed on that sheet, it'll be an appendix to the ASTIR. If it's one of those HTSs, then the system is going to trigger you to have to report to indicate whether it's used or not.
Okay. So it's either yes or no. It's not if you're entering it in, you would just indicate if it was. It's a mandatory field for the HTS. All right, perfect.
Thank you. Our next question is from John Burns.
Hello. Yes, I have a question in the sense, and thank you once again for hosting this, but we ship out scrap circuit boards and other types of electronic equipment for reclamation of the precious metals within it. We have a binding ruling on our imports from customs that the shredded circuit boards and some of the other equipments that we import are all classified under a metals provision, 74040060, which of course is not in this list. But if we do move cell phones, which are really for scrap processing, and also some chips like memory boards, things like that, I have a feeling either we defer to our classification for the scrap that we have from customs on the binding ruling, or do we go for a binding ruling with census for the Schedule B to see if we more correctly should be putting them as memories, like 85, 42, 32, and also, say, under, or say, electronic integrated circuits, 85, 42, 31.
Thank you. So the Census Bureau doesn't conduct binding rulings. That's something that's on the import side that Customs does. So this rule isn't intended to change the way you classify. It's just to capture more information on the goods that were already being exported. So if you currently export under a specific Schedule B number, you would continue to export unless, of course, that Schedule B number changed. And then if that number happens to be on this list, then you would be required to indicate if it's used or not. If it is not on this list, then that would not be anything that you would have to indicate.
Okay. Well, I know that the binding rulings are just specific to import, but I was under the impression also that, say, Census or the Export Department would issue a binding Schedule B ruling, something like that.
We're only going to issue that list. No, we're only issuing that list that is on the website. So that list would indicate the commodities that, you know, EPA and their group are interested in seeing as to whether it's a used item or not.
I see.
So if it's not on that list, you don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. And once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. And one moment, please. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. I'm showing no further questions at this time.
Okay, well, I guess if there are no further questions at this time, I just want to just recap and ask that everybody go on to our website at census.gov/trade. Again, on the website, there is an outreach tab where you will find the webinar on the changes to the proposed rule. Also, if you go on that same page, census.gov/trade, and you select the regulations tab, in the resource box, that's where you will find the list of Schedule B numbers. Our comment period is open until May 9th, so definitely take a look at the rule. If there's any concerns that you have, or even if there's some things that you agree with, we would love to hear your comments, any suggestions that you have in order to make these rules, this rule effective. We want to continue to promote exports. This is not to hinder exports. So if there's anything that we can do to improve the filing process, please put your comments to the rules by May 9th and submit them through regulations.gov. Or, again, you could submit them to our division chief, Dale Kelly. So I'll turn it back over to the operator. If there's no more questions, I guess we will be signing off.
I am showing no further questions at this time.
Thank you guys for attending. Have a great day.
Thank you. And this does conclude today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.